Okay, amigos, here we are, Rancho Alegre Radio, with another great interview, this time with the great Johnny Hernandez, of course, of the famous Hernandez family, Little Joe, Rocky, Tejano Orquesta legends. And we are here with him in support of the book, The Cotton Picker, An Odyssey. And Johnny, muchas gracias for coming to Austin and sharing this info with us and letting us into your experiences, brother.
Well, thank you so much, Frank. It's a real pleasure to be with you guys, and especially since I do have a little history.
Oh, yeah.
KOOP, which is in the book.
That's right.
But I brag about that everywhere. You know, I went in to do an interview and turned into a co-host. But
that's awesome.
I thank you guys so much for the invitation.
The pleasure is all ours, brother. And let's go ahead and start. Okay. Now, we know you come from the legendary, you know, orquesta family, Chicano music, whatever you want to call it, with Little Joe, Rocky, like I mentioned. Pero let me ask, it may be a dumb question, but how did you decide this is what I want to do?
Well, you know, I actually started singing when I was about 4 or 5 years old.
Okay.
And without realizing, I actually was doing concerts, because my grandparents, who lived at the opposite end of the block at the house where I was born,
right,
you know, would summons me, you know, send for me.
Yeah.
And I would sing the song called Yo, written by José Alfredo Jiménez.
Right.
and at that time I was, I had a lisp. You know, and so I would sing it tartamudo, you know, and it would show, you know, real funny.
Right.
Ando borracho, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But and years later, it dawned on me that I had been doing concerts at that young age,
right,
because they would all stand around me and listen to me sing the song. And then it dawned on me that it was a professional concert, because I got paid a penny Tootsie Roll,
right,
by my grandfather. So it was for pay.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's just something that I grew up and listening to. In fact, I learned English through listening to the general market songs.
Oh, okay.
And singing them and sitting in with groups at a very 14 years old of age, and writing down the songs. And so I never thought about, you know, I didn't think about it as this is what I want to do, or right, I didn't think about it as is it something that I would think about. It was just a natural thing.
Right. And
so I didn't think about it one way or the other. It was just something that came natural, and
right,
I sang everywhere I went, you know.
And influences. I mean, I'm sure there was, like you mentioned, José Alfredo Jiménez and others. What other music? Because I noticed your catalog, it's everywhere. You know,
yeah.
You do the blues.
Well,
you do, you know.
That's because the house that I was born in was in Temple, Texas, was in the predominantly black neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
You know, and we were a few of the families within several blocks, you know, and it was our family and the neighbor. And then you go down the block, it's all black African-American,
right,
families,
right,
and then my grandfather and my cousins at the other end. And then the other Chicanos or Mexican-Americans or Mexicans were further up, you know. So we were pretty much in a black neighborhood. And I don't know if I heard the blues before I heard Spanish, to be honest with you.
Gotcha.
You know, I grew up listening to Nat King Cole and Jimmy Reed and the Ink Spots.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And my elder brothers, who traveled the world very young, one of them joined the Airborne and the other the Navy, and they'd come home and leave, and they'd turn us on to all the beautiful music that was being produced back then by
right.
Tommy Dorsey and Glenn Miller and all the vocal groups. So I was Mona Lisa. I was a kid who loved Mona Lisa at 5 and 6 years old,
right,
you know, and of course, B.B. King and Muddy Waters and Lloyd Price and, you know, Chuck Willis. I grew up with all that.
Right.
And singing, you know, trying to learn and sing their songs. And then I grew up listening to Los Gorriones de Topo Chico de Mexico.
Right.
And Los Alegres de Terán.
Oh, yes.
You know, at first, those were the conjuntos, Mexican conjuntos
right,
that I
right.
learned. And then, but the most influence was my father, whom they call La Cotorra,
right,
which
right.
is a bird that never right, yeah. shuts up, you know, to put it mildly, you know, it never stops talking.
Right.
You know? That was my father. And his brother, Demetrio, was called La Araña, Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
He was quite a character, man. Mr. Bojangles himself, you know. And they were our heroes. They played the guitars. Both of them played guitar and sang first and second harmony, as Joe and I grew up to do. You know. So some of the early songs that we recorded were songs that we heard Pop and my uncle sing. At home, there was always parties. So they were the major influence, but their influences were Miguel Aceves Mejia,
right.
Jorge Negrete, Antonio Aguilar.
All of the cine stars, I guess.
And of course, the gentleman that got killed in a car plane crash at the... That was the biggest star from back then.
Oh, yeah.
Pedro Infante.
Pedro Infante. That's, you know. Right. That's right.
So I grew up on the Spanish side. And then José Alfredo Jiménez, that was it. The utmost, the epitome of our heroes that we got to meet later on. So that influence with the blues and the big orchestra. Because we were into Frank Sinatra from the get-go,
right.
you know. And Woody Herman and Joe Williams, mm-hmm. you know, singing with the Count Basie and Duke Ellington.
Right.
Those were our influences. So the reason I say that is because people are always talking about what is real Tejano music.
Right.
Real Tejano music is the Mexican song married to American music, and that's why we have, even as a when we first started with only two horns and then grew into a larger horn section, even then we were creating arrangements with riffs that belong in a big band,
right,
you know,
right,
but in polka in 2/4 beat,
right,
you know, so the riffs were like jazzy big band style, and that's what set us apart. And then Isidro Lopez, the godfather of Tejano music, you know, and Sonny Ozuna, the god of Talk to Me fame, and the Sunliners, and then Sunglows first. So these bands, and Little Joe and the Latin Ears, learning off Isidro Lopez and Alfonso Ramos
right,
from here,
right.
We all were creating a genre without realizing it. And that is what true Tejano music is.
Right.
It's a horn band. It's American music fused with the Mexican song.
Right.
You know. And then later on comes your, in the late 80s, you know, mid 80s, late 80s, comes the modern Tejano group
right.
with electronics.
Right.
Before that, we had, they just referred to a conjunto as a conjunto.
Right.
From
right.
Texas, you know. Mm-hmm. Mexico's was norteño. But our conjuntos were simply referred to as un conjunto. And the orchestras, before Isidro Lopez broke away from the big orchestra, those orchestras were like Glenn Miller.
Right.
And Luis
right.
Alcaraz de Mexico, you know. And Tommy Dorsey. Where the setup was, you know, 15 horns and a rhythm section, all instrumental music, and they have the guest vocalist on the side.
Right.
And
right.
during the night, they'd come and sing one or two songs and move back and then come back. Maybe they'd sing four or five songs within the whole set.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it was all instrumental. And that's the way Beto Villa and Juan Colorado were, you know. And Isidro Lopez was with them. And when he broke away, he reversed the process. And it became all vocals with a couple of instrumentals. You know,
right,
it literally
right,
reversed
right.
the cycle. And it went from a 12, 14-horn band to a 6-horn band, 7-horn band. And that's where Tejano music became Tejano music.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And they would be playing mambos and cha-cha-chas that were from General Market, you know, T42 and stuff like that.
Right.
And so that was the crossover thing for them. But when the younger bands came in after, our hero Isidro Lopez, and Alfonso Ramos was with Ramos and Guerrero at the time.
Right.
Then he formed his own, orchestra. And that's where Tejano music was born, as a genre with horns.
Right.
And that is, when I talk about Tejano music, I refer to it as true Tejano music.
Right.
Nothing negative about the new generations.
No, of course not.
As right. everything evolves.
Right.
But true Tejano music is horn bands.
Right.
And before that, they would call it orquesta music or conjunto.
Right.
And then when we came into the scene, it became first La Onda. And then they tried calling it Tex-Mex for a while.
Right.
And that didn't work because it got taken over by groups like eclectic music, like, by his own admission, Freddie Fender.
Right.
You know,
right.
And the Texas Tornadoes and Duck Sam and groups like that, that would play rockabilly rock, you know, Tejano rock and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that took over the Tex-Mex title. And then the Tejano settled in, which was really La Onda.
Right.
You know, that's what developed from us growing up in a black neighborhood.
Right.
And listening to all those, you know, big band.
Turned into a capirotada.
Capirotada, a salad of American influence, guitar right. riffs, solos, jazz, chord progressions being incorporated into the passing chords.
Right.
Instead of just the three change chords, you know, the one, the four, and the five, you know. So, even though we were at first, like I said, signing had two horns, we had two horns. But we were doing some very modern riffs, you know, and chord progressions. And that's Tejano music.
Right.
If you listen to a lot of our music, you'll hear jazz chords sprinkled through the
right.
through the arrangement, you know.
Right.
And that's what Tejano music is.